Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. One person that has really impacted my life a lot is Coach Pete Weary, up at Northland. And Northland has had a huge focus on discipleship. And ever since I enrolled as a student there, Coach Weary has taken special interest in my life. He often says that Northland doesn't give out athletic scholarships, but his scholarship is that he will disciple each player for 15 to 20 minutes a week. You schedule an appointment, and he meets with you once a week. And these discipleship times have been so refreshing and probably better than any scholarship I could have gotten. Discipleship is the loving commitment to a spiritual maturity of another believer in helping to bring them to greater Christ-likeness. A disciple is a confessional believer who is identifying with the local church, striving to walk in obedient submission to God's command and working toward making disciples. A disciple is one who is passionate about learning God's word and connecting with like-minded believers. Let's open Matthew chapter 28 and view how God reveals discipleship to us. Verse 16 says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where God had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity. Lord, I need you. Help me just to be able to portray your word clearly. Thank you for Thad's message. Help us just to tie together for the advancement of your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In this passage, we see that we need to be all about making disciples. Tonight, we are going to look at three discoveries about discipleship. Number one, we are going to discover our mandate in verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go. This begins by telling. We are to go out and tell people. This word ye here makes me think of it. Back in this day, he's referring to the 11 disciples when he leaves. But in our day, we are a disciple as well because we are a disciple of Christ. So he's referring to us. Go ye, go Jordan, therefore, and teach all nations. When Christ called his disciples, he said that he would make them fishers of men. And that's in Matthew 4:19. Now, making disciples in this Greek world, the Greek word would have had a different connotation than what we typically think of. This is the idea of one who adheres to another. The point is to be so that the teaching continues after the teacher is gone, so that it continues to funnel down through generation to generation. This teaching just becomes who you are when you are a disciple of someone. Continue reading. And teaching all things. We need to be telling all the nations. This is played out in the Jamboree because in other passages in Scripture we see that you are to make the gospel known in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So this is made known for things like the Jamboree. This is known for things just like normal church services. We are to witness. We are to go and evangelize and bring people in. This is made known in things like mission trips. We just got back from Panama. And we just got back from Louisiana. Those were opportunities for us to tell all nations. This is played out in sending support to missionaries. Yeah, we can't all go, but through them, through supporting them, we are participating in making disciples of all nations. So, number one, we begin by telling. Number two, we continue by touching. This is baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So, we're going and we're witnessing, and then we're bringing them in. So we're going and we're bringing them in to baptize them. They are identifying with this church. They are identifying with this body, with this faith family. Then number three, keep reading. Teaching them to observe all things. The final component is teaching. We are teaching what we are already learning, or what we have been learning ourselves. We see in Christ's command that the plan of worldwide evangelism is to make disciples. This must be at the very heart of our ministries. Otherwise, our ministries may simply turn into a social gathering or a place for moral protection and improvement. Jesus told his disciples to make disciples, but it was not to make disciples of themselves. It was to make disciples of Christ. So first, we see that we discovered our mandate. Now we will discover the second discovery, which is we will discover our misconceptions. There are five misnomers in discipleship that we will go over. Number one, discipleship is not a program. Jesus did not have a 12-step program. This is how you disciple somebody. He just said, tell, touch, teach. Number two, discipleship is not a Bible study. Yes, the Bible needs to be involved, but just because you are reading the Bible does not mean that you are discipling somebody. It must be a life-touching life. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Number three, discipleship does not just happen. Yes, I understand that there are unintentional discipleship opportunities, but it needs to be intentional. And we see this by obeying the Great Commission. Number four, discipleship is not just for new converts. Timothy had been sound for years and was pastoring when he was discipled through two letters by Paul. So everybody needs to be discipled. It's not just for those people that get in trouble. It's not just for the people that are on edge. It's for everybody. Everybody needs to be discipled and needs to be discipling. Number five, discipleship isn't just done by the pastors or just spiritual leaders. Discipleship is done by everyone. We all need to be disciples. We all need to be disciplers. You say, well, I haven't been saved that long. Teach them what you know. We all know things. We all understand things of the Word that we could be teaching and teaching to other people. The Great Commission is for all of the believers. So first, we discovered our mandate. Secondly, we discovered our misconceptions. Lastly, we will discover the model of discipleship. Number one, the examples of discipleship. Well, our number one example is Jesus Christ. He is our number one example. Jesus modeled impacting 12 people for his entire ministry term. He was just impacting, going, giving everything he had to those 12 people. When I was an RA this last year at Northland, and they say you need to pour into your room leaders, which is about six. The way that they divide it up. So they say just pour into those people with everything that you have. You just want to pour into those people because you want your room leaders to be able to influence the people in the room. So I get discipled by the dorm soup, and then it goes from me down to the room leaders, and then it goes down from there to the room, the other people in the room. So you need to be impacting You don't want a huge number of people. You need to allow yourself for a select few of people to impact greatly. He commanded them to follow me. Again, they were to tell, to touch, and to teach. Acts 4:13 says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." So even the world sees when you are being discipled and when you are discipling. They see change. They see there's something different about you. All right, number two, are examples, other examples in the Bible. Okay? Every person needs a Paul and thus a pattern. Every person needs a Barnabas and thus a peer. And every person needs a Timothy and thus a project. You guys in here can all be Barnabases. You can be in this together, striving together, just like that was talking about. Unity, fellowship in the body. The church is not just someplace that we get together to talk about sports and the weather and politics. There's much more to being involved in a church. Church is not just a Sunday, Wednesday type mentality. We have so many avenues of connection. We have all that social media. You can be encouraged. You can encourage people many different ways. We just have to get out there. Church is just not a Sunday, Wednesday mentality. Number two, elements in this ministry. How is this to be fleshed out? Well, three ways, three elements. Number one is the relational element. Romans 12:5 says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." This is to be a relational type thing. When you meet with somebody, you don't just go straight into a hard question for them to answer. That way a wall does not come straight up. When you want to meet with somebody, you need to just allow yourself relational conversation with people. Just keep it surface level and then go in deeper and deeper and deeper as the relationship continues. Number two, confrontational element. There is a confrontational element. The Bible says in Galatians 6:1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." So there is a confrontational element. Number three, there is a mutual element. This will be a two-way street. Even if it's your Paul, even if it's a Barnabas, even if it's a Timothy, it doesn't matter. It will be a two-way street. You will be so encouraged when you meet with people, when you meet needs, when people are, when it's practical ironing, sharpening iron. It'll be awesome. It'll be awesome to see your Timothy grow in Christ. It'll be awesome for your Paul to be working through different things and him showing you things in Scripture, and you'll just be, it'll be unbelievable. So there's a mutual element. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." In conclusion, there's a very interesting thing with multiplication, with the law of exponents. You see, if you won 1,000 people to the Lord every day, you would never catch the world. A day, you're just going crazy, winning 1,000 people to the Lord a day. But if you take one person to invest in for 6 months, and you teach them everything that you know, and you say, "All right, now I want you to go make a disciple," and then you make another one, and then it branches off, and you're teaching other people, and you're teaching other people how to make disciples. It only takes about 16 years to reach the world. That is unbelievable. 7 billion people on the planet. And because of exponential growth, and you say, Jordan, there's no way I could do 1,000 people a day. Well, just do one for 6 months. The mission team just came back. There will be people coming back from camp in a couple weeks. What kind of impact are you going to have? You know, they came back and they were pumped. They saw God work. They were ecstatic. And they came back. Is that just going to fizzle out? Are we just going to let that just die? What about someone like Daniel Altemus came and he's never had a real desire for ministry. You know, he's thought about some medical things. You know, he didn't really know what he was looking to do. Well, now God's directing him to use medical and to use missions. And are we just going to let that just die? Are we going to be like, come on, Daniel, come on, let's go. Come on, come on, let's go. Let's encourage this. Don't quit. I know it's going to get hard. I'm in the medical field. Daniel, do this. Try this. I know a guy's name. I can get you in here. Are we encouraging people for the sake of the gospel? We should be ignited when people come back and are pumped about ministry. That should just ignite us. We just heard from Thad about the gospel. Paul was writing Rome to Roman Christians, and there's a lot of gospel in there. And that is to encourage people. And it is unbelievable. We need to invest in people's lives. One of my Timothys, if you want to say, it's been awesome seeing them grow. And it is my little brother, Derek. And it's kind of cool because there's a stage change. Because he was kind of like a Timothy, you know, he's just like, my little brother, you know, whatever. And then you invest in him, or you just see him grow. And then he's coming back to the room and he's like, Jordan, I'm doing this thing and it's unbelievable. Like, I can't believe God does that. And I'm like, I've never had conversations like this with Derek before. The last 12 months have been unbelievable. We need to invest in people. When Derek comes back from camp, Derek's down at the Wilds right now, I don't want to let that fizzle out. I don't want him to quit. I don't want those things to be camp decisions. I want him just to be fired up, ready to go, and make disciples. I want to be going, Derek, try this. Derek, try this. I am pumped about seeing my little brother again. And I hope that you guys will take this as, yes, there are young people in our church that need to be discipled. We are a body. We are a body. You guys have so much to help the younger generation. We need to invest for the sake of eternity. Let's close in prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for allowing us all to be here tonight. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for changing our lives for you. Thank you so much for bringing people into our lives who have enabled us to see you for who you are. Father, help this not just to be a sermon that we just leave. Help this to be something that changes our lives drastically for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.